There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of Our Fathers, that makes reference to the terrible controversy that Korach and his cohorts whipped up against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. As the sages explain to us, Korach and the others were jealous of certain positions that others held that they felt would be coming to them. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah explains it as follows. There's a machlokes, a controversy, a disagreement, an argument, which is the Shem Shemaim, for genuine, pure motives, for the sake of heaven, where each side means everything for the best. And then there's something called the machlokes, shelo l'shem shemaim, a controversy, a fight, where each side, or one of the sides, does not have the most genuine or pure motivations. What is an example, says the Mishnah, of a machlokes shelo l'shem shemaim, a controversy that was not for the sake of heaven? Korach va'adaso, the fight that Korach and his cohorts made against Moshe and Aaron, that was a fight which was not l'shem shemaim. My Rebbe of blessed memory, Rav Moshe Torsky, asked the following question. He posed the following very strong question. We know, particularly from the way the sages explain the way that Korach and his cohorts went about their rebellion, that they effectively denied the validity of Torah being from heaven, of Torah being from the Almighty. They were effectively making the claim, Moshe, you decided unilaterally on your own to appoint yourself as king, your brother as the high priest, etc., etc. Such a challenge is apostasy. So that is much worse, apparently, than just saying that they got involved in a fight without the purest of motives. Why does the Mishnah make it seem as if the only problem that Korach and his cohorts had is that they started up with Moshe without having the purest motivations? Why doesn't the Mishnah say, you know, there was much more to it than that? The answer, Rav Torsky explained, and he said, really this is the only answer that you could say, is that the Mishnah is not describing the highest depths of sin that Korach and his cohorts committed. What it's describing is the root cause of what brought them to such denigrated levels. What was the root cause? That they did not have pure motives. Now, we could ask our own question. There's one verse that says that the kindness of the Almighty goes even past heaven. There's another verse that says that the kindness of the Almighty reaches heaven. The sages explain, one verse is referring to the kindness that human beings merit to receive from the Almighty in response to those mitzvos, to those good deeds that they do, that are with pure motives, purely for the sake of fulfilling the will of the Almighty. And the other verse is referring to those mitzvos, those good deeds, that people do with not the best of motives, ulterior motives. But that also is something very, very great, to the extent that the kindness to which they can merit to receive from the Almighty goes all the way till the heavens. Doesn't go past the heavens, but it goes all the way till the heavens. So I would like to pose the following question. If the Mishnah is indicating to us that approaching something with less than pure motives can ultimately bring a person to such terrible moral downfall, how can the sages then say That la'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvos afilu shelo lishma, that a person should always learn Torah and do mitzvos, even if he does not have the purest of motives. Even if he's interested in honor and recognition, fame, wealth perhaps, still, go ahead, continue. It'll reach the heavens, and eventually, say the sages, mitoch shelo lishma, from a place of not being with the purest of motives, balishma, eventually you will get to the purest of motives. And of course, upon a moment's consideration, the question really is not a question. Because Korach and his cohorts were not doing a mitzvah to begin with. Although, in a certain sense, at least according to some commentators, their essential drive was that they wanted to come closer to the Almighty. They felt, or they thought, that the only real way to come ultimately close to the Almighty is through the priesthood, in the temple, by carrying out the worship in the temple. And that's what they wanted. They wanted that closeness with the Almighty, but they were misguided. They were misguided in the way they went about it, and they got in over their heads. So in a certain sense, in a very real sense, what they were trying to do was get a mitzvah. But they didn't have the purest of motives. So what happened? Why didn't their desire to do a mitzvah bring them to lishma, bring them to pure motives? I think it's inescapable that what we derive from this dichotomy is the incredibly dangerous fire of machlokas. The incredible danger of controversy. Controversy is a yotzei min haklal. It is an exception to the general rule. The general rule is yes. Even if your motives are not the purest, continue with your mitzvos and your Torah. Continue doing good deeds, even if you don't have the purest of motives. Even if you're doing it because you want honor and recognition and money, etc. Don't worry, one day you'll get there. The sanctity of the mitzvahs itself will bring you to a place of coming close to Hashem that you do have pure motives. But not if it involves fighting with other people. When it comes to fighting with other people, it either has to be with the 100% utmost purity of motivation, or not at all. And that being said, I'll mention another thought that my Rebbe Rav Torsky mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, who said, what does it mean? It's a pithy saying. It's obviously not the basic explanation of the Mishnah, but in a pithy manner, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that a machlokes, a controversy, which is for the sake of heaven, will endure? Of course, the pashut pshat, the simple meaning and understanding is that each side of the controversy has merit to it, and therefore, that side, the essential position of each side will have an enduring, lasting nature to it. But said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in a pithy way, and this is such an important lesson, when will a controversy never die down? When each side is convinced that he's only doing it for the purest of motives. He's only doing it for the sake of heaven. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a controversy of that sort will never die down. Coming back. The lesson that we see from here is that when something involves or entails arguing, fighting, controversy, friction with other people, you've got to be 100% certain, without the slightest shadow of a doubt, that you are only doing so because there's no other choice. It's absolutely necessary. And sometimes, yes, it might be necessary sometimes to take a stand. It does happen in life that sometimes there's no choice but to take a stand, even if it necessitates taking a stand against other people. Sometimes it's necessary. But if you are not 100% certain that it indeed is absolutely necessary, and you indeed have only the purest of motives, stay far, far away. In the turn of the 20th century, there was a great controversy that was burning in the land of Israel. There were numerous people that were trying to undermine the purity and the sanctity of the Torah institutions that existed in the old city of Jerusalem and elsewhere. And people like the great Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin and others had no choice but to take a very, very strong stand against what was a serious threat to the moral fiber of the community. And one of the people that would follow Rabbi Diskin's instructions was Rabbi Zonnenfeld, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who eventually became the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. After Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin left this world, Rabbi Zonnenfeld completely and immediately ceased all of his activities that involved standing up for the moral fabric of the people and institutions that constituted the old city of Jerusalem at that time, the Yishuv Yashan as it is known. And people asked him, how could you do this? We're still under fire! They're still doing everything in their power to undermine everything that our community stands for. Don't you want to protect our community? Why have you stopped? And Rabbi Zonnenfeld explained to them, I will answer your question with a parable. A very short parable. Not even a parable. It's more just an illustration. If you have a thumbtack and you want to push it in the wall or in the board to hold something up, it's a very useful tool. But oy va'avoy if you don't have that thumb piece on top. Because if you don't have that thumb piece on top, all you're going to do is pierce your own finger, and you're not going to accomplish anything. He said to them, my friends, kana'us, zealousness, fighting the battles of God, so to speak, taking a stand even where it entails taking a stand against others where necessary, my friends, is a thumbtack. And without the thumb piece on top, you will not accomplish anything good. You will only damage yourself. Rabbi Diskin, our Rebbe, was the thumb piece on top of the tack. And now that he's gone, I must stop everything that I was doing because I don't have that thumb piece anymore. This is a very, very important lesson. Perhaps the central lesson that we need to take out of this parsha. To look and see what a terrible, terrible fate befell Korach and his group as a result of the incredibly, indescribably damaging effects of machlokes, of fighting, of controversy. And that even though, yes, it may sometimes be necessary to take a stand, but that our natural, automatic, knee-jerk disposition should be to run away. To run away from machlokes, to run away from controversy like fire, because that truly is what it is. And unless you are absolutely 100% certain and convinced, and not only convinced, but you know from people greater than you, from people that are objective, from people that are wiser, from people that are more experienced, in the absence of all that, to stay away. Because without the purest of motives, even the slightest defect, even the slightest impurity of motives, when it comes to controversy, can lead to such indescribable, irreparable damage. May we have the schus to have shalom, to have peace and brotherhood, that we should never need to get involved in controversies, and to stay away from controversies. And that vessel of shalom, with that vessel of shalom, we should merit to have all the blessings that the Almighty so much wants to give us. Have a wonderful Shabbos.